I'd like you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15. God speaks to Jacob. We're considering the book of Genesis in our Sunday evening expositions, and we have come to the story in this chapter of God's dealings with Jacob at a place called Bethel. How that Jacob, when he was asleep with nothing but the sky over his head and a stone under it, asleep upon the earth amongst the mountains, where he had this great vision or dream of a ladder going up to heaven, and God spoke to him. And we're considering what God said. We looked at the promise that God gave to him, which he had given before to Abraham and to Isaac, and now was renewing to Jacob, and we considered what it meant and how it applies to us. Now we come to verse 15, which is a rather personal promise to Jacob. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And then he goes on, and will bring you back to the land, for I will not leave you until I have done that of which I have spoken to you. Now we must consider the second half of this verse next week tonight. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Jacob was alone, you see, and he may have felt both lonely and scared. When he woke up, he decided it was a very eerie place, a very awesome place, and God was saying something to him about loneliness and about fear. And therefore we must consider that as we come to this promise of the Lord. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Jacob, don't be lonely. I am with you, and don't be afraid. I will keep you wherever you go. Now, loneliness can be a very terrible thing. If you've ever been lonely, you'll know that it's a very hard thing to bear. There are many people today who are lonely. There are many people in the metropolis of London who are lonely. There are probably many people not very far from this church tonight who are lonely people. Loneliness can come to some just by living alone. Not all people who live alone are lonely, but some people who live alone are very lonely, especially people who are shut in, who cannot get out, who are dependent entirely upon seeing anyone if anyone calls to see them. They can't even go to the shops, and there are people like that. And many, many hours pass of loneliness. I have seen someone sometimes who has told me, you're the first person I've seen in 4 or 5 days. And some of us know nothing of this at all. And if you can get out, and you wouldn't be here tonight if you couldn't get out, you ought to be very thankful that you're not shut in to hours and hours of loneliness, that you can come out and meet people, that you can go to the shop, that you can go to the laundrette, and so on. There's a loneliness that can come by being out and about and in a crowd, but having no companion. And there's a kind of loneliness which is perhaps even more intense in a crowd than when you're alone. When a person's shut in and all by themselves, they expect, in a way, to have times of loneliness. But when people are all around them, and they're in London, and they know that they're surrounded by millions of people, and everybody is bustling to and fro, and they all seem to have got friends, and people are passing by them in the street in animated conversation, and others are waiting to meet their friends, and they haven't got a friend. A crowd can be the most lonely place upon the earth. And there are many people who are like that. If you have a friend, somebody who cares for you, and who you can talk to, and who you can drink tea with, or who you can meet or go out with, you should be very thankful to God. There are some people tonight who are very lonely because they feel they haven't got a friend in the world. There are some people who are lonely because they want a particular friend. They want a friend of the opposite sex. They want a boyfriend. They want a girlfriend. Why not? They see others with boyfriends, they see others with girlfriends, they see others getting engaged, they see others getting married, and to tell them, well, look, you've got to tell this girl you've got lots of other girlfriends doesn't help her at all, she wants a boyfriend. And that's very lonely. There's a kind of loneliness that comes from having had a loved one and lost them. What you've never had, sometimes you never miss, but when you've had a loved one and they've gone, that can be very lonely. There's the empty chair where that one used to sit. There might even be the empty place in the bed where that one used to lie. And one is left with the memories of many hours of companionship and of experiences shared together, and now that one is gone, and that can be very lonely. And if you have a loved one tonight, even if you would like to improve them a little bit now and again, if you have a loved one tonight, you'll be very thankful to God. And it's good for husbands and wives to look at one another sometimes and to say, oh, I do love you, and I'm so glad that God gave you to me. There's a loneliness that can come from not having a Christian friend. I talked to a boy when I was in Malaga, in the church at Malaga, who really is very lonely very often, because all the people at work know nothing of the gospel that he believes in and know nothing of Christ that dominates his life. And he tries to share with them about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they just laugh at him and they can't share it with him. And he goes home and the family know nothing of Christ. Though some of them have a form of religion, it seems an empty thing to him, and they know nothing of the truth of the Bible, and they're not interested. And that can be very lonely. And life only becomes rich for him when he comes to be with his Christian friends. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, and it's like that for you at work, or it's like that for you at home, and you feel very lonely because you're not part of it. It's not that you're stuck up, it's not that you're thinking yourself better than anybody else. You wouldn't be a true Christian if you thought that. A Christian is somebody who knows his sin, but you can't share the Saviour, and therefore you feel lonely. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ has said that he is with us, and the promise that is given to Jacob, behold, I am with you, is given to all those who know Christ. Therefore, is it wrong for a Christian ever to feel this loneliness? Some people have said so. Someone comes and says, oh, I'm so lonely. I'm lonely because I live alone. They say, you're not alone. Jesus is with you. Snap out of it. What's the matter with you? Or says somebody, I'm so lonely because I don't feel I have a friend. You have a friend. What a friend you have in Jesus. Snap out of it. What's the matter with you? Oh, I feel so lonely because I long to have a partner in life, and I pray that I should have a boyfriend, and I cry at night when I go to sleep, and the person says, oh, you shouldn't do that, that's sinful, you have Jesus as your friend. And I think it's very cruel to say that, and I think it's unbiblical as well. Because they might be knowing very well they have the Lord Jesus Christ, and they may be very thankful for that, but you can't see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we walk by faith and not by sight. And the Bible, it seems to me, teaches us that it's natural and right and quite godly to desire to have human friends. After all, Adam in the Garden of Eden had perfect communion with God before the fall. There was nothing wrong with him at all. He was made perfect. God saw that it was very good. And yet we read that God saw something that was not very good. He said, it is not good that the man should be alone. What's the matter with you, Adam? You've got God walking with you in the cool of the day, and you've got the cows and the bulls and the lions and all the other things. What's the matter with you? Ah, says God, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make a partner for him. And I would need no other scripture than that scripture to teach me that it's not wrong for us to desire human companionship and friendship and partnership. But when Jesus sent out his disciples to minister the word and to preach the word, he sent them out two by two, that they might be companions together and share together and pray together and live together. And Paul liked companionship, and when the Apostle Paul went on his missionary journeys, he always had at least one companion with him. And one Sunday morning, a long time ago now, when we were going through Thessalonians, we came to that rather meaningful phrase where he says, "I was left alone at Athens." Don't tell me the Apostle Paul didn't know Jesus as his friend and didn't know that God was with him. Of course he did. He had a wonderful faith in the Lord and talked with him and knew the guidance of the Holy Spirit better than many of us do. The Holy Spirit forbade them to go this way and forbade them to go that way and so on. He knew this. And yet he felt it when he was alone at Athens. And he writes, as we read in these letters, he writes to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. Only Luke is with me." Oh, he was thankful for Luke, but he'd like Timothy as well. "Do your best," he says to Titus, "to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there." But my dear friends, if we needed any further proof, we would only have to turn to our blessed Lord Jesus Christ himself. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go yonder and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" None other than the blessed Son of God himself, who had perfect communion with God the whole of his life, who always perfectly did the will of God and had the word of God and walked with God, nevertheless found comfort, or wanted to find comfort, in human companionship. For he was man as well as God. So it is not necessarily a sin for you, dear Christian, if you desire also to have a friend. And if there are times when you feel lonely, you're not denying your faith in the promises of God that he is with you. You must be very careful, of course, that your loneliness and your desire for a friend does not become a denial of the promises of God and betray unbelief in God's promises. And you and I must be very careful that we are very thankful for what we do have. One sometimes hears from people who say they're lonely, who don't really know what it is to be deprived. And one sometimes wonders if they're those kind of complaining people who are never satisfied, no matter what they have. And that is sinful. To be ungrateful and to be unthankful is sinful. We must be very careful if we have times of loneliness that it doesn't turn into a kind of bitterness and a kind of selfishness and a kind, and this is the worst thing of all, a kind of self-pitying. We need to come as Paul did and say, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." And Jacob was alone. Physically he was alone. He'd known the companionship of his mother, he'd known the companionship of the servants and of the flocks and of the bustle and the hustle of the camp. But now he was alone, and he felt it. And God says to him, "Behold, I am with you." I know it's not quite the same, Jacob, as having a physical friend, as having somebody that you can see and hold on to and talk to in that way, but I've come to you here at Bethel, and I'm giving you this vision, and I'm speaking to you, Jacob, so that you will know that even if you journey on alone physically, you're not alone. You think you're alone, but you're not alone. Remember, I'm right by your side. Though you cannot see me, I'm with you. I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And this is just what the Lord Jesus Christ has said to all who are his. And the promise comes to us from him. I will not leave you desolate. No Christian is desolate. John 14:18. You may lack this or lack that, but you're not desolate. For Jesus said, I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you. He said, we will come to him and make our home with him. And he said, lo, I am with you always. It may be that Jacob not only felt his loneliness, but he felt fear, because what was he going to face as he went journeying north to Haran? And God says, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Fear is another terrible thing that sometimes comes to us. There are many people who have fear tonight. Loneliness and fear. Fear of illness. Fear of failure. Fear of loneliness. Fear of accident happening to them. Fear of accident happening to someone else in their family, a loved one. Fear of death. Fear of the future. Fear of the past. Some people have a fear of the past. Something that they did will catch up with them, will come out into the open, and they live in fear. Fear of people and what they're saying. What are they saying? Look at those two over there. What are they saying? But they're talking about me. What's that group doing over there? They had a glance in my direction. I'll guess they're talking about me. And wherever they go, they think they're in fear because they're wondering what people are saying about them or what people are thinking about them. That's even worse. Because at least if you're wondering what people are talking about you, you can smuggle a microphone down somewhere and see if you can pick it up. It might be better not to do it. But thinking about, I wonder what he thinks about me. I wonder what they thought of that. And very often the fear is of what people think and not what God thinks. Fear at work, fear at home, fear of going out, fear of staying in, fear of day, fear of the night. Some are afraid of the dark, some are afraid of the light, fear of demons, fear of anything, and it's a terrible thing. And God can deliver us from that fear, because God says to those who belong to him, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. You see, it's one thing for somebody to say, I'm with you. That doesn't always mean that they can keep you. They may not have it in their power to keep you in all circumstances. They will be with you, but maybe not keep you. Only if they have all power can they keep you. I remember once my wife and I we were going across London, across the centre of London somewhere. We were down Shaftesbury Avenue somewhere, and I said, if we cut through here, we can get down to Leicester Square or something like that. So we went down the first road, and I could tell she was got the gripping on like really tight, and she said, this is Soho. So I said, really? Well, I don't know where that is, you see. So I said, well, you're all right. So then we came to another, and there were lots of sleazy people around and advertising all sorts of things and so on. And I think she had visions of people with knives and guns in every shop doorway. And then I said, now we're to go down this alleyway. She said, oh no. And I said, it's all right, dear. I'll be with you. She looked at me. She said, we're going down Shaftesbury Avenue. You see, I did think, why she said, no, I think it was because she felt that though I surely would be with her, there might come situations I couldn't handle. But my dear friends, there's no situation God can't handle. If God says to Jacob, I will be with you, he also says, and will keep you wherever you go. Because you see, God is the sovereign God. God rules the universe. And God rules people. There's no authority but that which is appointed of God. The very breath of kings and princes and presidents and trade union officials And everyone, they're all in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And he's got you and me in his hands. And he says, I am with you, I will be with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and you don't have to fear because I control circumstances. Now that doesn't mean that everything will always be easy then. Because he hasn't promised that. He hasn't promised that he will be with us and he will keep us and he will make sure that the pathway is smooth and easy all the time, everywhere, wherever we go. That would be bad for us. Now I don't understand why God allows us sometimes to go through some rugged pathways and up some steep hills. But I picture a father with a boy, and he's going along, and the boy says, let's go that way, Dad, that's easy, that's downhill, that's easy. And the father says, no son, the way's up here. Oh, says the boy, but there's clouds up there, and there's some darkness up there, and there's a ravine up there, and it's tough and it's tiring up there. And the father says, I know, son, but this is the way, and I'm going with you, and I will keep you, and you have nothing to fear. But it's still going to be tough going, but I have things to teach you that way that you can't learn if you go this way. And our destination lies yonder way, not that way. But you know, God's protection is upon his own, and we have nothing to fear. And if God is with us, and if God will keep us, we ought to trust him. What does it mean for us? It means, you know, that we ought to walk pleasing to him, a holy life. Wherever we go, can we be pleased that he is with us? Whatever we're doing, can we be pleased that he is there? Oh Lord Jesus, you have said that you are with me, I'm not desolate, you are with me to the end of the world, and you will keep me. That was a good film tonight we saw together, Lord Jesus, wasn't it? Christian, can you always say, oh Lord Jesus, isn't this a good TV program that we're watching? Oh, I'm sorry, Lord Jesus, that man used your name in vain. But I'm not going to switch it off because it's good and it's ever so funny later on. Oh, this is a good book that we're reading together, aren't we, Lord Jesus? You see, if we really take this seriously, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. We will check what we're doing and where we're going, Christian, won't we? We don't leave Jesus outside, you know. When Jonah rebelled against the Lord was still there. Some people think that they can just say to the Lord Jesus, you stay in the car park, I'll pick you up after. Now don't you look at this, this is just for me. But you know, if we're Christians, we don't leave the Lord Jesus in the car park. He comes with us because he said he will never leave us nor forsake us, but he grieves. And he grieved over Jonah. But he protected Jonah and he provided for Jonah and he brought him back to the place of obedience, and that's what he's seeking to do perhaps with some of us. And sometimes the fact that the Lord Jesus is with us and will be with us and will keep us wherever we go is not always such a great blessing sometimes to us Christians as it can be at other times, because if we want to do wrong, we become embarrassed by his presence. And there's nobody, in my experience, so miserable as a Christian who's where he ought not to be. You see, the people who live for the world and who care not, who just indulge in the pleasures of sin for a season, and there are pleasures in sin for a season, the devil sees to that, and who's holding out the little baubles, taking everybody down to destruction, there's another one, grasp that, no satisfaction, well, I'll give you another one, come after that. Well, they just don't care very much what God thinks about what they're doing. But the person who's a true Christian, I'm talking about the true Christian now, not a hypocrite, not somebody who's professed Christ but doesn't know Christ, but the true Christian to whom this is true, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, I'm with you. When he takes Jesus somewhere, where really he's ashamed to be seen with the Lord Jesus, well then he's usually very unhappy there. And he feels bad about it. He's been enticed by the evil one. And there's a kind of a disharmony comes between himself and his Saviour. And he doesn't feel that there is the joy and the friendship there that there was. And it's not the Saviour's fault. Or if there's someone here tonight who's rejoicing in the promise when you're in trouble and when you're lonely, that the Lord Jesus is with you, as surely he is, then just be careful. Let me be careful what we're doing, what we're seeing, and what we're saying, and where we are. It should lead to a holiness of life. It should lead to a life of trustfulness and peace. Of course it should. You can trust him and believe that he really is there and controlling all things. Is there a young person, a boy or a girl here tonight, and you're afraid in the dark? Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of that. It is a bit scary in the dark, especially when the moon shines through the curtains and you see big bogeymen on the walls and you feel quite sure that they're coming to get you, or you've been watching something on TV that's got your mind a-thinking. But the Lord Jesus Christ is with you if you've trusted him, and he'll let no harm come to you. Is there some young person tonight at school and you feel lonely at school and you feel afraid at school? I don't mean that for things that you ought well to feel afraid at school for. I mean just because you're a Christian or because you feel lonely, you're not alone, you know. You might be the only Christian in the class, but the Lord Jesus Christ is with you. To somebody at work and you feel you're the only Christian there and the other fellows get at you and say things and it upsets you and so on, never provoke that. And love them for Christ's sake as he did. They don't know what they're doing, you see. But the Lord Jesus sees you and he is with you. You see, he said, I will never forsake you. And we should go through life, therefore, with a peacefulness and a trust. Because although we cannot see him, and he knows that, he says, I'll speak to you from the word and believe that I am there, and I will protect you, and all authority under heaven and on earth has been given unto me. And I'm in control of all things. Nobody can do you harm. Nothing can happen to you except that I am there. So a little boy in London once, standing beside the pavement, he wanted to get across. And there was all the traffic and the big red buses and the taxis. Zoom. And all the big noise, and he couldn't get across. And I couldn't see how he was ever going to get across. And then a policeman came up, and the policeman walked out. Actually, you know how they do, it's amazing. He just walked straight out, and nothing happened to him. And when he got to the middle of the road, he'd stop the traffic, you see. Then the other way, there was a kind of Red Sea crossing, and then he went like this to the little boy, and he looked at these big buses and the engine throbbing, vroom, 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 just waiting to go, and he stayed where he was. And then the policeman smiled and he walked over and he put his hand down and he took his hand, and then he came, he walked right across with him. And that's just what God does to you and me. He doesn't just say come, he says I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. We're to believe that. That's what faith is. We're to believe that. And do you know, if you believe that, as you look back on the way you've come, you'll see God's hand in it all. You'll see the way he's been with you, even through the difficulties. Oh, at the time when the things happened that you thought, well, where was the Lord when that happened? Well, he was there. He had some purpose in this. This was some shaping, some teaching, and it could only come this way. And you won't realize it at the time, but when you get on, then you look back and say, yes, I could see that the Lord was with me, he hadn't deserted me. I told you I'd tell you about Willie Mullen. You know Willie Mullen. I told you the other Sunday night about his conversion. This youngest of 17 in the family, the 16 boys and one girl, and how when the father was killed in the war, when the mother died, that little woman, Fulford Aid, who brought them up, taught them to pray, when the mother died, nobody wanted Willie. And he took his jacket off the door and went out, you remember? And he became a tramp and a good for nothing, and he became a criminal eventually. Never saw the inside of a house for 2.5 years or slept in a bed. And no one wanted to know Willie Mullen. He got into bad company and eventually he got a house in Newton Arts and it became a den of thieves. Do you remember how he went to that mission? And nobody was converted in the whole of the mission. Or they didn't think so. The man preached faithfully for 3 weeks, but no one was converted. But then later, Willie Mullen was converted in the middle of a field. The word of the Lord came to him in the middle of that field, the judgment day to be faced. But God was a God of love, loved him and gave the Saviour for him. And he screwed up his cap as he stood there in the middle of the field. And eventually, the Lord won the battle in his heart. And he turned and he said, Saviour, I'll be yours, you'll be mine, I trust you, I want to be saved, I'll live for you. And it was done. The great transaction was done. He had a new heart from that day on. And he'd left me, he'd gone to look over a house for a thieving job. He was on his way there. He had to go back. And he tells how he got over the hedge and he saw a fellow. It was so great in his heart, and he saw a fellow. And he said, hey, come here. And the fellow came over. He said, you see that field? I've just been saved. I found the Saviour in the middle of that field. And the chap ran away for all he was worth. He said, he thought he met a loony. And he came to another man and he saw another man, a great big fellow. And he said, hey, come here. And he came over and he said to him, you see the field? He said, I was saved in the middle of that field. I've just met the Saviour and given my life to him. And it so happened that in the providence of God, this was a man from the Brethren meeting, a Christian. This man put his arm around Willie Mullen and he said to him, young man, have you really done that? He said, I have. He said, young man, fear not the unknown morrow. Dread not the new demands that life makes of thee. The one who saved you today will keep you right into eternity. And he proved that true. And God sent him that message. He might have quoted this, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, Willie, because you belong to me now. You've got the Saviour now. Because he had to go back and face those thieves that he'd left behind in that place. And he was frightened. He was scared. He didn't know I was going to face them. Especially one big fellow called Paddy Hanna. A great big fellow as wide as a door. And dark as the night, says Willie Mullen. Now an aged pastor who served the Lord faithfully. Then a young man. And he had to go back. And this man had just told him the Saviour would be with him. And he carried a knife in his belt. He had a belt. And I'm sad to say that in that belt he carried an open razor. In case he ever needed a little protection. And he made a decision of what he would do. He prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, you've got me now. I belong to you and you'll go with me. The man said so. I know you will. Well, I'm going back in that house to try and get them out. And he says, Lord, I'm going in and I'm going to tell them that I found the Saviour and I've been saved. And the first who speaks, I'll cut his head off. And he says he had quite a lot to learn about sanctification because he'd only just started out. And he learnt this lesson even before he got to the house, because he came to the bridge and there was the river flowing underneath the bridge. And the Lord said to him, you don't cut people's heads off now, Willie Mullen. You throw that razor away. I am with you. I'll protect you. You don't need a razor. And he threw the razor over the bridge. And he felt, well, he could handle them all except Paddy. But he said, if Paddy hit him, that would be the end of it. If he knocked you down, you never got up. And he was frightened of Paddy Hanna. But he was going to go. And as he turned into the alleyway towards the house, this man came down the alleyway, the very same man. And he stopped and he thought, well, I'll dodge it if I can. And he said, Paddy, I've just got saved. I found a saviour. And I can't go on. And Paddy Hannah looked down at him. And tears began to run down his face. He says, "Is that right, Willie?" He says, "That's right." He says, "Well, put it there, man." He says, "Many of the time I wish to get saved, but I don't know enough about it." He said, "Come on, I'll get them out for you." And they went back to the house and the door burst open and there they were drinking and playing cards, all these men. And Paddy Hannah says, "Hey, gather up those cards and clear out. Willie's found the saviour, he's got saved, he's not going on." They all gathered up the cards and they looked at Willie with wide eyes. They all filed out, last of all Paddy Hannah, who he'd feared. And he says to him, "God bless you, boy," and shut the door. And God has blessed him ever since. And God has kept his promise. "Willie Muller, now I'll go with you. I will go with you and I will keep you wherever you go. Christian, I don't care how old you are tonight here at Chessington or how young you are. God is no respecter of persons. He loves you all. And he says, I will be with you. I will never forsake you. You may have times of loneliness when you lack human companionship, but you're never desolate because I'm there. And I'll keep you. And I'll protect you. I'll surround you with a myriad of angels like I surrounded Elisha and his servant, even though you can't see them. And all the way you journey on through life, I'm the sovereign Lord of circumstances and of history. And I'm making a path for you. I'm not telling you it's going to always be easy. There may come suffering, there may come bereavements, there may come dark valleys as well as green pastures, but I'm there. And I've given you my promise that I will keep you, and nothing shall befall you except it is for your good and for my glory." Oh, my dear friends, are you lonely tonight? Is there anybody here who's lonely? Trust the Saviour. Believe his word. Talk to him. If dear Smiley was here, she'd be willing to testify. She was racked by fear. She was a psychological case with fear. She'd been in Kenley Ward. She couldn't be at home. She couldn't be at home without somebody there. And if anybody was not going to be there, she was on the phone day and sometimes through the night. And it came to her, this fear. And she found the Saviour. And there, as she sat in the chair, God delivered her. And now she knows that Jesus is with her. And she talks to him in the house. I told her to do that. He's there. Imagine him sitting in the chair. If there's anybody here, we've got to be practical about these things. If there's anyone lives alone or you spend time alone, believe he's there, he's in the chair, talk to him. And as you walk down the street when you're alone, or as you walk down the lonely road, talk to him. "Thank you, Lord, for being here, Jesus. I can't see you, I know, because by the body and physically you're in heaven and you're preparing a place for me. And one day I will see you, I know that. And meanwhile, you've given to me your spirit, and you speak to me, and I speak to you, and you're here, you've said so, and you can't lie." And talk to him. And if you're lonely for human companionship, make sure you're doing your part, dear friend. Do you write to people? Do you write letters? If you have a ministry of letter writing, there are other lonely ones who love to receive a letter. Do you go to see them? Do you have a ministry of prayer? Dear me, I have a dear wife at home who's got so much to do. Her problem is that she never gets time alone. Her problem is she never gets time enough to pray. And maybe God has given to you a ministry of prayer. Look what happened to Jacob when he was alone. Some of us, we need more time alone, not less. For there's such a clamour of things in our lives and such a noise and a bustle and people. Somehow we never get the quiet time with the Saviour. And it was when Jacob was alone that God met him and spoke to him. Don't despise all the lonely times. Perhaps God will give you a ministry of prayer. You ring me up and say, "I feel so lonely, who can I pray for?" And I'll tell you who to pray for who's in need. "I feel so lonely, who can I go and see?" And I'll tell you somebody that you can go and see. Some people lack friends because they're always moaning, because they're never satisfied, because they're always complaining. put on a cheerful spirit, be thankful for what you've got, and you'll be surprised what God does for you. But if you're a Christian, he will never leave you desolate, and the Lord Jesus is with you. What if you're not? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. If you would have the Saviour to bear your griefs, you must have him bear your sins first. Do you know the ladder up to heaven, which is the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know the Lord personally in your heart and in your life? Has that communication been established between you and the living God, so that God has come into your heart? Well then, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus and you know him, his word comes to you as it comes to me. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. He has said, says the writer to the Hebrews, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hence we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Trust the Lord, dear heart, tonight. Trust the Lord. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for your great and precious promises. Forgive us that so often we doubt and our faith grows dim. But Lord, we pray that you will increase our faith tonight. And increase it not only now here when we're all together in the meeting house, but help us and increase it when we're alone, as Jacob was alone. Lord, bring to our remembrance the promises that you have given. And we pray for anybody tonight who's never received those promises into his own heart and experience. Lord, we pray that he may hear your voice tonight and trust the Saviour, for we ask it for his name's sake. Amen.